Part 1, Sales Impact, Sales Systems Development Program Manual. Welcome. We hope that you enjoy your experience over the course and the tools and the knowledge you will gain will make a real positive difference to the way that you sell. In this program, you are responsible for your own learning. The program facilitator, other participants and your manager and colleagues can help, but ultimately it's up to you. We have designed this program to maximize the opportunity for you to study and learn the process of selling, and we want you to participate to get the absolute most you can from your time. This program is for you. It's a toolbox. Like all the tools, they will only work if you do. Consider the other participants as a resource. Ask for their ideas. Draw on their experience. Also, help them learn. And helping others learn, we often learn more ourselves. This manual has been designed to help you during the course and equip you with the process to give you a systematic approach for your sales. Many of our past participants have commented that having a systematic approach to selling has given them regained confidence and enthusiasm to go out and sell. All we ask is that you approach this training with an open mind. Our process. To constantly achieve measurable results for our clients, we ask that before starting our training program, there are clear expectations agreed between the participants and their managers, agreed specific goals, measurable targets going forward, both activities and sale figures. This ensures that we have predetermined and defined outcomes to work towards. If our process is followed and managed, we can guarantee that you will see changes including improved productivity, positive habit formation, increased qualified referrals, reduced cost of sales, increased sales. This program only works if you do. Goal planning. Overview of goal planning. Purpose. Develop the importance of setting goals in both personal and business. Learn how to turn goals into a manageable plan of action. Develop planning tools, mind mapping. Outcomes. Fully develop sales goals. Fully develop personal goals. A goal planning process. Optimism versus pessimism. Optimists and pessimists view challenges with opposite perspectives. A pessimist looks at a glass of water and sees it as half empty. The optimist, on the other hand, looks at the same glass as half full. More importantly, especially in sales, optimists believe the glass can be filled. Optimism is a result of a positive mental attitude. No one is born with a mental attitude. Top performers develop theirs. For sales success, a positive mental attitude is always as important and usually much more important than any particular skill. Optimism breeds confidence. Confident sellers have supreme faith in their abilities. Confidence helps you overcome your fears. Pessimists take a rejection personally and quickly give up. Optimists, on the other hand, view setbacks as challenges and see obstacles as stepping stones. Optimism creates persistence. Selling is one of the few occupations where you are paid to be rejected, so you will need the ability to bounce back from rejection and press on. Champions believe that while you can't control events, you can control your reaction to them. During the sales presentation, you can't control your customer's budget, the competition, or the state of the economy, all of which play an important role in the sale. Nevertheless, virtually all champion salespeople feel that they have the ability to influence the outcome of most sales. No one ever watched the 1988 Seoul Olympics. No one who ever watched the 1988 Seoul Olympics will ever forget diver Greg Lauren's incredible self-control when he came back to win two gold medals after cutting his head on the diving board during a reverse 2.5 somersault. Optimists sell more. Martin E.P. Stegan, Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania, has carried out convincing studies on this. In 25 years of research, he has found that pessimists tend to believe that bad events are their own fault and that events will last for a long time and that they undermine everything they do. Optimists, however, confronted with the same knocks, do just the opposite. They never believe that bad luck is all their fault. They think that defeat is temporary. They're unfazed by defeat, putting it down to circumstances, other people, or simple bad luck. They see any setback as a challenge and react by trying harder. Segmund's research on the characteristics of optimists came to the notice of John Creedon, the CEO of Metropolitan Life, one of the United States' leading life assurance companies. In 1982, Creedon challenged Segmund to use his knowledge commercially to help identify top sales agents. In a total of 15,000 workers were screened, all took two tests. The first test was a career profile administrated by Life Insurance Management Research Association. The second was Segmund's optimism test, the ASQ. The optimists in the regular force outsold the pessimists in the first year, but only by 8%. However, in the second year, the optimists sold 30% or more. The real surprise came from a group of super optimists who failed to career profile and normally wouldn't have been hired. They outsold pessimists in the regular force by 21% on the first year and 57% in the second year. The sales wheel. The sales wheel is a quick way to identify areas in your sales skills that require improvement. The centre of the wheel represents the lowest score of 1. The outside of the wheel with the highest competency rating of 10. Make a mark on a notch 1 to 10 on the numbered lines. Each one corresponds with a key skill for sales success as listed below. Now connect the scores in a circular shape or as close to the circle wheel shape as it gets. Define the areas that need attention, then answer the question below. These are the 8 areas. 1. Market awareness, product knowledge. 2. Prospecting, generating leads, developing COIs. 3. Phoning for appointments with new prospects. 4. Presentation skills. 5. Qualifying questions. 6. Negotiating and confirming the sale. 7. Keeping your promises, service delivery after sales service. 8. Follow-up, maximizing opportunities. How far could you travel in your sales vehicle with this wheel? Your weakest area will govern your success in sales. The gracilis symptom of sales management. During the Russian-Japanese War, the Russian Tsar prepared his troops for battle in the following manner. The first wave of the charging infantrymen were given rifles. The second was provided with clubs, but the third wave was given nothing but good wishes. They were supposed to pick up the weapons from their fallen comrades and then continue the attack. If you were recruited into that army, which wave would you choose? That's exactly how rookie salesmen feel when they're sent into the field without adequate tools to do their jobs. There's no way to break in a new maverick. It will sure burn them right out of the business. Denying the training and support systems which every jittery newcomer needs to get started in selling is a short-sighted and counterproductive view of the sales team-building process. New reps are entitled to all the help and tangible support that you and your organisation can provide. Success in selling is inversely related to the salesperson's FUD factor, fear, uncertainty and doubt, which they experience every day in the firing line. Because selling will always be a problem, if it is not learned as a procedure, it is mandatory that selling skills as well as product knowledge be emphasized in your training programs. Without adequate preparation, new salespeople will surely fail in the field, just as the ill-equipped, poorly trained Russian soldiers did. Goals, how they work. There is an old Gaelic proverb that says, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen, while others wonder what happened. What kind of person are you? Do you know the secret to getting things done? I mean really, the really important things in your life? I'm sure you've heard this before, so this is just a simple reminder. It's establishing the goals in your life. It's so easy and yet it's so hard. It's hard because it has to be hard because so few people do it. Some people did it and don't do it now. And even people that have set goals in the past who have achieved them achieve them no longer set goals for themselves. I find it mind-boggling. Now then, if you've read a few business books, you probably know the name of Lou Holtz, who was a former head coach at Notre Dame. In 1966, Lou was 28 years old when he was hired as an assistant coach at the University of South Carolina. His wife, Beth, emptied the bank account for a down payment on a house. Just 1 month later, the head coach suddenly resigned and Lou Holtz was unemployed. To help boost his morale, his wife gave him a book titled The Magic of Thinking Big by David Swartz. The author suggested you write down all the things that you want to achieve during your lifetime. So Lou Holtz sat down and wrote 107 goals. Thinking big, one of these goals was to become the head coach of Notre Dame. So if you want to make the most of your life as Lou did, do the following. 1. Read The Power of Positive Thinking and Think and Grow Rich and The Magic of Thinking Big. 2. Using a blue pen and a yellow pad, write down a list of goals you want to achieve personally and professionally during your lifetime. Why should you do this? Well, because some people make things happen, some watch things happen while others wonder what happened. You should do this because your goals will make things happen for you. If Lou can do it, you can do it too. The value of written goals. Goals should be written to be most effective. Written goals will help you do the following. They'll help you become better organized, help you save time. They'll increase your effectiveness. They'll provide a standard for measuring progress and a tool for decision making. They'll reduce conflicts between fuzzy thoughts and feelings because they clarify your expectations. They'll increase your imagination, inspire faith and confidence, focus your creativity and energy into a powerful force that's nearly impossible to defeat, reduce worry and frustration, improve communications with the most important people in your life, increase enthusiasm for life and the work you're doing, inspire and produce events that were previously thought impossible, help you respond maturely and effectively to negative situations, give purpose to persistence and conviction, encourage and support discipline, give you strength and endurance, provide you with the opportunity to become self-actualized, are the seeds for the future, produce pride and enjoyment in their pursuit and achievement. Sales goals. Example, major goal. I will do an outstanding job for the next calendar year by increasing my sales or achieving promotion to title, so that my total income will be X amount. Then each year thereafter, I will increase my income by X amount over the previous year. This will enable me to purchase item by date, etc. Sub-goal 1. To maintain an adequate number of butterfly prospects to keep me busy selling productively all day, every day. Specific activities to do daily, weekly and monthly include: develop a minimum of 4 hours a week to productive prospecting. Develop and maintain close contact with productive centres of influence. Get leads from every person I sell to. Get favourable PR by speaking to one service club, church group or company meeting per month. Prospect at least 2 hours per week using the telephone. Use the telephone or use person-to-person contact to call on or present 5 customers each month and ask them the names of some prospects. Sub-goal 2. Make X number of face-to-face presentations monthly. Specific activities to do daily, weekly and monthly include: fill each day with X number of productive appointments. Fill each week with X number of productive appointments. Be in the field making calls for X number of hours daily, weekly. Do necessary paperwork during non-productive calling hours. Have available a more than adequate number of butterfly prospects for each day. Each day, make alternate cold calls, fill in any open time. Make X number of face-to-face presentations daily, weekly. Sub-goal 3. Increase the ratio of sales closings. Specifically, specific activities to do daily, weekly and monthly include: read a book on selling, X number of minutes per day. Listen to tapes or CDs in between calls. Review and study company sales training methods, X number of times weekly. set up a self-improvement program. Sub-goal 4, make the most productive use of my time. Specific activities to do daily and weekly and monthly include: every evening, plan to make the best use of time for the next day. Phone to firm up appointments each day. Visit less and spend more time selling on each interview. Permit no non-productive time during prime selling hours. Daily, weekly and monthly, do things in the order of their importance. Arrange appointments according to their geographical locations. Sub-goal 5. Maintain a positive, enthusiastic attitude. Specific activities to do daily, weekly and monthly include: give myself X amount of pep talks daily. Read one book on self-improvement every month. Listen daily to inspirational tapes. Keep my mind on the importance of achieving my goals. In my interactions with others, being an example of an enthusiastic person, review my goals daily. To complete a goal blueprint like this requires concentrated thought and effort of writing down. The same way that sales calls yield better results when you are prepared, knowing the buyer and the company and knowing the competition and the value of your product. Your goal setting program will prove its worth if you give it a chance. Anything that produces real results is worth the effort that you put into it. The power of goals. Turn your vision into reality. To turn your vision into reality, you need a set of clearly defined goals. If your vision is your compass and your goals are your roadmap, goals ensure we don't leave the development of potential to chance. In the psychocybernetics, the late Don Maxwell Martz compared the mind to the homing system of an automatic pilot in a torpedo. Once a torpedo selects its targets, a self-correcting system constantly uses feedback data to adjust its course until it finally hits its target. When you set a goal, your mind activates within your cybernetic goal-setting mechanism. Without goals, your mind roams aimlessly around like a torpedo without a target. In a Yale University study of its 1953 graduates found that only 3% had written goals, 10% had a vague idea of their goals, while the other 87% had no specific goals at all. 20 years later, the researchers found that 3% who had written goals had achieved more, at least in financial terms, than the entire 97% put together. This finding showed the power of goals has been repeated in dozens of studies. In fact, in 99 of 110 studies, people who set specific hard goals produced superior results than people who didn't set goals. People who set easy goals were told simply to do their best. On average, setting goals improves performance 16%. Would you like to improve your sales by 16%? Goals maintain motivation. Goals, because they're specific and achievable, can sustain us through the toughest of times. German Jewish psychologist Dr. Viktor Frankl survived the horrors of imprisonment at the Nazi death camp Auschwitz during the Second World War. Only one prisoner in 20 ever survived Auschwitz. Being a psychiatrist, Frankl became interested in how some prisoners remained hopeful, whereas others gave up. Frankl observed that those who had no goals lived in the past, they closed their eyes and their life became meaningless. When Frankl was released, he asked how he managed to survive, he replied, "I always knew that my attitude was my own choice. I could choose to despair or to be hopeful, but to be hopeful I had to focus on something I wanted. I focused on my wife's hands. I wanted to hold them one more time. I wanted to look into her eyes one more time. I wanted to think that we could embrace again, be heart to heart one more time. That kept me alive second by second." People often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing, and that's why we recommend it daily. Zig Ziglar. Performance and outcome goals. When setting your goals, focus your energy on goals within your control. Performance goals. Goals which you potentially can control and based on your standard of performance are called performance goals. A goal to increase from 5 to 6 number of presentations you make each week to your client is a performance goal. Outcome goals. Goals that focus on the end result or outcome of a completion are called outcome goals. Outcome goals are not entirely within your control because they depend on outside factors as well as the competition. A goal to win your company's sales contest is an outcome goal. So too is a goal to win your next sales account. While outcome goals keep you focused on the final destination, they do little to sustain you through difficult times. To do this, you'll need to set performance goals, goals which provide you with feedback on your day-to-day activities. Sales managers who put much of their effort into helping their team and achieve their daily performance goals lead the best sales team. Their sales teams stay motivated from the emphasis on sustained performance to higher sales results. By contrast, weak sales managers spend much of their time cajoling and urging their sales force to meet sales targets. The result, salespeople switch off and sales slump. Ironically, instead of using this as evidence that you need to switch emphasis to performance goals, the ineffective sales manager places more emphasis on outcome goals for the next sales period. So when setting your goals, use the outcome goal of winning a sale to energize yourself and then shift back and focus on your performance goal. End of part 1.